Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and I'd like to welcome back to the show, Pastor Eric Kakimoto. Welcome back, Eric.
Thanks for having me back. It's good to be here.
So on our last episode, Eric shared about the lead up to his missions trip to the Middle East. He shared about some of the hesitations that he had and just really how God worked in his heart to take him from a place where he was ready to just relax on his day off and go on a mountain bike ride to a place where he's now making a decision to go to the Middle East to do a missions trip. And that's kind of where we left off on the first episode. So wanted to pick up right there. So Eric, can you share with us now that you're ready to go on your trip? What was your trip like?
Yeah, so I'm at this point, I'm, you know, ready to go. You know, you take those nine courses and there's a couple like training sessions and a couple meetings over Zoom. And, you know, it's not a whole lot of information given. You don't know too much about your teammates. You're just, all right, I guess we're just going. And I think at this point there's, you know, I think there's this tension of like, I was excited, you know, but at the same time, it was so not how I usually kind of operate. So I think there was just that tension there of like, it, like in general, and, you know, just long story short, like, I don't like traveling. You know, I'm not, you know, one of those people, like, I don't have a bucket list of things I need to see all over the world. I'm like, oh, heaven will be pretty nice and we have all eternity to check it out then. So I don't need to see it now. You know, that's probably more of my laziness. So like, I don't like packing. I don't want to travel. I'm good with just riding my bike and, you know, watch some TV. On top of that, if I go away for a weekend, you know, like a one night San Diego, like usually I have a large suitcase, three pairs of shoes, my outdoor wear, my workout clothes, my loungewear, my PJs, like, you know, I just carry a lot of stuff, throw it in there. Not that I'm high maintenance, but like, I just don't know how to pack light. I've never been that type. You know, I don't like being hot. I don't like sweating when I'm not supposed to sweat. And now all of a sudden we're getting ready for this trip where we only get to take one backpack, right? We're going to be there for 2 weeks, one backpack. That's going to be a carry-on. I think they tell us to bring three shirts, three pairs of pants, you know, some underwear, socks. That's it. And it's going to be about 110, 115. Right? You know, so I think just, but at the same time, even though I knew these things, I think God had been working where like I was still excited about it though. And kind of this willingness of like, yeah, I'm willing to go for it. You know, so I think that was, you know, obviously a result of a lot of prayers, but also I think God kind of working in that season. So we finally head out there, we land, and you know, it's just surreal, obviously, because like in my mind, I'm just like, 6 months ago, I had no desire. It's the last place I ever wanted to be. If, you know, if somebody were betting me, I would have said, no, like I'll put money down that I would never go.
I know when you told me that you were going to be going so soon, I was surprised because it was pretty quickly that you from going to make the decision to go to your actual trip. I was expecting it to not come till like next year or something.
Yeah. Cause the course is what, March? I started in March cause I took it in the spring, March, started the course in March, April, May, and then in July.
Yeah,
I'm there, you know, and I think that was something that was appealing about this Vision School InterCP is that it's so accessible. Like that's their philosophy, and you know, part of their philosophy is you take this course and God calls you, He puts it on your heart, and you just go. You know, so we get there, and basically their philosophy of how to do ministry in those places is. And they primarily focus on the 10:40 window, but their philosophy is Luke chapter 10. You know, Jesus sends his followers, the 72 in pairs. They go into the villages, the towns in which he would later go. Find the person of peace. You know, if they invite you in, you enter their homes. If you eat what they give you, pray for the sick and proclaim the kingdom. You know, and that's kind of that's pretty much their philosophy of how to do ministry out there. So we get there. I think we get in like at 4 a.m. We rest for a few hours. We're then in their center that they have. we do devotionals in the morning. We eat breakfast. We worship. We hear, you know, a testimony. We do a little bit of language training. So a little bit of Kurdish, a little bit of Arabic. They then give us kind of like our mission for the day. First day, they send us out in a city to a city, and they say, okay, spend a few hours out there, try to meet people, find out where they're from, and then come back later that night. Mm. The next day, they same itinerary in the morning, and they give us a list of cities. There's seven of us. So they break us up into two teams, a team of three, a team of four, and they give each team a list of three cities. And the second day, they say, okay, go out. Don't come back till tomorrow.
Okay, so what did they expect you to do during that overnight period?
Yeah, so during that overnight period, so so when we get there, they take away our wallets, our credit cards, everything. They take away our cell phones because they're taking that literal, like, don't take your money bag. And,
yeah.
You know, so, and they give us a little bit of money.
And really, it's not that much, right? It's just emergency money.
Kind of like emergency money, food money, you know, but they want us to live kind of at the level as the majority of the people that do there. So we kind of have like a light backpack with us, you know, with just some toiletries, maybe some change clothes. But basically they want you to go and just pray, let the Spirit lead you to find that person of peace, to meet the person that God wants you to meet. The hope is that you would get invited into their home. The hope is that you would be invited to sleep over, right? And part of it is because in that culture, hospitality is a virtue. And a lot of times when you're invited to sleep over, that's where the relationships can really kind of go beneath the surface. But if you can't find a place to stay, they do give you like some emergency money to find like the equivalent of a one-star hotel to be able to stay the night. But that's kind of the only direction they give you. And the emphasis is really like, hey, as a team, pray and let the Spirit lead you. And if it's to go left, go left. If it's go right, go right. If it's to go talk to that person, go talk to that person, or the other person, the other person. And that's, and so out of the 10, out of the, let's see, 12 days that we were there, 11 of those 12 days, we were out walking the neighborhoods, walking the streets, going to different cities each day.
Wow, that seems so, it's interesting. I was just processing this as you were talking. It just seems so out of the box for me, because in my mind, missions trips, a lot of the ones that I've been involved with or know people that have been involved with, it's the organization sets up events that the mission or the short-term missions team participates in these different events, and then they get the people to come to the event. But in this one, you're talking about going out into people's houses and to going to the people and not just inviting them to an event. And it's interesting because to me, it's out of the box, but you're saying that it's actually Luke 10 lived out. And so it's interesting that our definition of missions has changed so much that our boxes can't even fit what Jesus actually sent his disciples to do.
Yeah. And I think, right. I mean, there's different strategies,
yeah,
philosophies, and, you know, I'm not here to say one is better than the other, but for, you know, I think that was just so different from what I'm used to. And yeah, it was intimidating, you know, I think just hearing about it and then to be actually to do it. And, you know, it sounds cliche, but it forced us to be desperate for the Spirit, you know, because, you know, we get into a taxi cab and we have this like little booklet of basic words and languages, and we can barely communicate the taxi driver, like, hello sir, how are you, do you know this city, how much, yes, thank you. And we get in the cab and he takes us to a city, and until he tells us to get out, we honestly don't know where we are. And he gets to the city, we get out of the cab, and we literally have no idea where we're at or what to do or where to go. It's just, it's 110 degrees. We have a little bit of money and we go, okay, we're not welcome back until tomorrow. Like, so it, you know, we can be desperate for the Spirit anywhere, right? And we should be dependent. But in those situations, it really forced us to really like, hey, God, show us where to go, you know? And, And then on top of that, you know, like our teammates out of the seven of us were all so different, right? So part of their philosophy is when they're forming a team, it's not about chemistry and personality, strength profiles coming together. It's like, who did God call here? You know, in other words, who signed up? Mm-hmm. And we just get put together. So our youngest teammate, I think, was like 36. The older ones were in their 60s. We're all different backgrounds, different, you know, personalities. But even in those situations, as you're seeking the Spirit together, you're really forced to depend, you know, on one another, even though we're so different.
Can you share some of the personality differences that you experienced that you had to navigate through?
Yeah. So, you know, and that was probably one of the things where I saw God's hand, you know, and teaching me to surrender, like I said in the first episode, a lot of it was seeing how he worked in these teammates. So, you know, I remember there were occasions where, you know, one of the significant moments where we're in the city, there's three of us, and, you know, one of our teammates, she, like, you know, just, we took our time.
Yeah.
And just wanted to take our time and just, you know, casually kind of comb through the city. And there's a little part of me that's like, hey, we got a mission. We got 2 days. We got to move. We got a ground to cover. We got people to meet. And, you know, she would just be like, oh, like, I think let's just rest. There's shade. Let's go find a shady spot. Let's sit. And, oh, let's get a Coke. And I remember there's one time we're like sitting on these steps and it's in the shade. And I'm starting to get antsy. You know, I'm kind of like, we need to go. We got ground to cover. But we're just there and, you know, her and the other team that were, they're just chatting and I'm kind of chatting, but if I'm honest, I'm starting to get a little irritated. Right. But before I say anything, this business owner comes, cause his business is right there and it's a barbershop and he opens the door and we're like, and you know, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's okay that we sit here, you know? And he just waves over and he says, no, come inside. And he invites us into his barbershop. He sits us down on kind of this bench. He turns on his AC that's blasting right at us. He runs across the street to the liquor store, buys three bottles of water, comes back, and he gives it to us. And, you know, we kind of begin to, like, try to engage in a conversation. You know, we find out he's from Syria. He has a family. You know, kind of one icebreaker is we, like, show him, like, pictures of our family. And we can only say basic things like, hello, how are you? What's your name? Where are you from? And I show a picture of my family and we're showing pictures and he pulls out a picture of his family. And immediately we can tell that, you know, one of his children had a physical disability, you know, and it just kind of, I think that's why we're here, you know, to pray for. So we just ask him and we're able to kind of basically, hey, is that okay if we pray for you, your son, in the name of Jesus, right? We believe that there's healing in the name of Jesus. And in Islam, they do hold Jesus to a high regard. They do believe that he performed miracles. They don't believe he was the son of God. But so there's kind of a way into like, hey, can we pray? And when we ask, like, can we pray for you? You can just see this desperate look on his face, you know? And we circled around and, you know, we just prayed for him and we prayed for his family. And, you know, we could tell he was like moved by that. Right. Now, were we able to lead him to Jesus in that moment? We weren't, but we hope in our, you know, our prayers that seeds were planted, right. And that we're able to pray. And I remember just walking out of that and being convicted, right. Like if it wasn't for my teammate who wanted to rest and was okay taking her time, right? If she was like me and just go, we would have missed that chance. And we just felt like he was the reason why we were supposed to be in that city, to be able to pray for him and his son. And that was one instance of like, God just showing me, like, you don't know how I'm going to use you, your team, and you just have to trust me. And I remember being so grateful and convicted that, you know, I was getting irritated. Mm-hmm. But God, if we didn't stay on those steps, we never would have met that man. So that was like one example. And kind of the other extreme is, you know, I had teammates who were just super aggressive, right? Like,
that is not Eric's personality.
Yeah. So that is not my personality. And they're, you know, they would walk up to people and be like, can we stay your house? Can we drink tea your house? Can we sleep your house? And I would just be cringing inside, right? Like, oh my gosh, like, you know, we can't do that. But same thing. There's one occasion where we're in a different city. We're walking around the neighborhoods. It's about 9 at night. It's getting dark. We're tired. And I'm like, we need to start looking for, you know, like, we should probably start looking for a hotel soon, motel soon, because we don't know where we are. We don't even know where the nearest motel is, and we don't even know where we can afford. And, but, you know, a couple of our teammates who are more aggressive, like, no, let's walk a little bit more. You know, we get to this neighborhood, and we're, like, praying, like, do we go left? Do we go right? Literally. And we're like, okay, let's go left. We go to the end of the street. If nothing happens, we turn around, we go find a motel. So we walk up the street, and there's nothing. We're about to walk back, and this house next to us across this little street, it's kind of like an alley. There's these two little kids, and they just kind of like wave at us, you know, and they smile, and they run away. And my teammate, who's, you know, she's very like, go, 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 go. She's like, I think that's the house. Let me go ask if we can stay there. And I was like, oh gosh, don't do it. You know? She walks over, you know, she talks to the kids, the family comes out, she's engaged in this conversation. And, you know, next thing I know, she waves us over, you know, and she's like, I think they said we can come in and we can hang out there, and the women will go upstairs with the women, the men will go with the men. And, you know, I'm like, I don't know if this is a great idea to be split up, and we should probably just, you know, it's late, we should just go, but okay. Whatever, God, like whatever you have planned. So we go in, women go upstairs. We don't even know what's going on. We come downstairs with men, and little by little, one by one, like these men begin to enter the room, and they're kind of dressed up nice. Mm. So we're like, what's going on here? You know, and we come to like find out. And there were fortunate situations where somebody could speak a little bit of English, right? So there was this 10-year-old girl who could speak English, and she's translating. She's like, oh, we're having a wedding this weekend, and this is the first night. So the women are upstairs with the bride, and they're having kind of like their bachelorette pre-wedding celebration, and the men are here, and it's like, oh my gosh, we're crashing a wedding right now.
Legit wedding crashers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, what are we doing here? And you know, the groom is with us, and we just can't tell, like, are they happy that we're here, or are they annoyed that we're here? Eventually, you know, we're just sitting there, and eventually we make our way, you know, upstairs, and we're taking pictures with the bride and groom. The woman had spent the last 2 hours dancing and building, you know, building relationships. And then there's this family who could speak a little bit English. Eventually they invite us to come to their house, and they're like 5 minutes down the street. We go to their house. They invite us to sleep over. We stay the night. The next morning we begin to hear some of their story. You know, that they are, you know, they're Kurdish, that their father, the grandfather of the family, had passed away when he was gassed. Mm. Their whole family had been gassed. The daughter had passed away with the dad, and they're still suffering effects from it. And you can just see the wounds that are still fresh, even though it happened like 20 some years ago. And in that moment, just being able to, can we pray? And sitting in a circle, we're holding hands, we're praying, you know, we're all crying, we're all weeping. You know, and just that moment, right, like once again for me, right, if it wasn't for my teammate who's willing to just knock on doors and be like, can we come inside? Like we wouldn't have been able to pray for that family and be with that family, and eventually to share the gospel with them and tell them about Jesus. So I think just moments like that, right, where, you know, God just more and more, Eric, you don't know how I want to use each person. And maybe in your mind, you have an idea of what's best and what's, so I think seeing those moments, and there's, you know, tons of other stories like that, but kind of those are the two extremes of seeing God use different people. The whole body analogy, right? Yeah. Using the body, using not just the different gifts, but the personalities and strengths, weaknesses to meet the people that he had sent us to meet. You know, at the end of the day, it was just more and more just like, okay, God, whatever you want to do, you know, like I'll get out of the way. You do what you want to do. And I think, yeah, we can experience that here.
Yeah.
But for me, maybe it required me, you know, kind of in that setting to kind of experience more of that there.
Yeah. Some of the things that come up to me is I feel like for you as the senior pastor at CBC, it's like God wants to take more people to this place, but it's hard for you to take people where you haven't gone. And so for you to experience all of these things, like seeing the actual body of Christ at work, where the hand is being the hand and the foot is being the foot, and they're not trying, the hand's not trying to be the foot and the foot's not trying to be the hand, but you're seeing how they can work together for these different people that you are coming across and praying for, because they're just stepping into who they are. And then also you'd mentioned earlier, just the dependency that you had to have on the Spirit and on the Lord while you're on your trip, just that sheer full dependency on Him. It's like, oh, that's so cool to see that this is God's heart for the people at CBC, for them to experience what that looks like. And you're going to help take them there. And that's why God had you on this trip. That's really what I feel like God's been impressing on me since we originally talked about this, was these are some places that God wants to take the people at CBC. And that's why He's taking you first, because you're the one that's going to help lead them there. So that's been super cool to me, walking on this journey with you.
Yeah, and I appreciate, you know, the encouragement from day one, Damon. And yeah, and I think that's kind of the prayer at this point is like, what's the next step, and what does that look like? And I'm really wrestling with that. You know, like I said in the last episode, like I don't want the point to be, oh, look what I did, come do the same, you know, but just if God is moving in this area for whoever, you know, and if this, and He's opening up doors, whatever kind of barriers that we may have put up to block that door, you know, of why we would never do something, or why we would never go, or, you know, maybe to reconsider, right? And to ask, like, are those barriers from God? Are they from us? And I know, and I think in this whole journey, God had to really highlight a lot of barriers that I had put up, and how He had to begin working on those to, you know, and then to show me, right, His faithfulness when we do step into things that He invites us to step into.
Yeah, so one of the other things I wanted to talk about too was the organization that you partnered with and kind of the method to the madness. Because to me, like, this whole thing seems very, like, crazy. Just, hey, we're going to partner people up and we're going to send them out. But there is a method to the madness, and there is a strategy that they're trying to implement. Can you share a little bit about the strategy of why are they sending out these short-term missions teams? Because for me, in my history of understanding missions, a lot of times some of the difficulties that people have with missions is, well, what do you do next? Like, people come to these events, people come out, some of them may receive the gospel, but then what? Like, is there a follow-up? Everyone just goes home, so we don't know what ends up happening. But I thought it was pretty cool, the strategy that they have in sending out these teams. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the strategy, you know, for them, it's pretty basic in terms of, you know, when short-term teams like us come out there, and they call it FOs, field operation. When we come out for a two-week FO, you know, they want to maximize our time there. So like I said, out of the 12 days, 11 of the days we're walking the streets, we didn't have any time to, like, shop for souvenirs, see the city, because they want us to go to these cities, right, pray, let the Spirit lead us, meet people. And if there's an openness to then connect them with the long-term missionaries who were there. So the last full day that we were there was following up with the people we met that we felt there was an openness for the gospel, or just wanting to learn more about Jesus, where we set up kind of a meet where one of the long-term missionaries, right, would come with us, we'd sit, and they'd establish a connection. So in that sense, it made sense where to go out, to comb as many cities as we could, find somebody who would be open, connect them with the missionaries, and then to see, you know, where that goes from there.
Yeah, I think that is such a good strategy that they're implementing, because then you're able to connect the people, you know, the Bible would call it the person of peace, with the longer term missionaries that are going to be there to build longer term relationships, and then maybe get into the communities through that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why, you know, at least for the most part, kind of twice a year, you know, teams are coming out. But that's why from the long-term missionaries perspective, they're like, the more people you can send out, the better. Right. I think in these areas, and, you know, I mean, there's tons of all over the world, people need to hear about Jesus. So I can't speak of everywhere. Right. But at least in these areas where we went, like in these unreached nations, these categories, a lot of these people have never heard of Jesus. And, you know, from what's true, you know, they've never heard the gospel. Right. So I remember we were in one city. We're sitting with this family in a courtyard. They invite us in. Like, they kind of just always look at you like, what are you doing here? Like, we still got like a sore thumb. And so many of them just kind of wave us over like, come inside. And
that's very different than here. We'd be like, what are you doing here? Get out.
Yeah, 911. So we're sitting there and, you know, at one point, you know, one of my teammates asked, like, you know, we kind of get to the point like, oh, are you Muslim? And, you know, we know the answer. And they ask us, are you? And like, oh, no, we're Christian. And my friend asked, do you know any Christians? Do you have any Christian friends? And the older gentleman of the house, he kind of nodded his head, yes. And he held up four fingers and he's like, yes, four, right? Showing us four fingers. And then he points to each one of us, one, two, three, four. And, you know, there's a part of it I was like, oh, that's so sweet. But there's a part of that I was so sad, right? Like, are we the only four Christians he's ever met? You know, and that was, I think, that's something I'll always remember in terms of like, wow. And that's, you know, that's such a tiny, tiny sliver of the world for me, right? But to go like, man, there are places,
yeah,
where people might spend an entire lifetime and never hear the gospel. So I think, you know, that part was kind of convicting, but seeing, right, in terms of their ministry philosophy and their vision of how it works, of why.
Yeah.
You know, why they're unapologetic in telling people like me, like us, you should go. Right? So that's why that dad, when I'm sitting at this park giving him a bike, he could look at me and be like, you should go, you know, for that reason.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me that there are, this organization is all around the world, and that was kind of cool for you to see the missionaries from the different parts of the world coming together.
Yeah, that was such a, you know, that's kind of a part of this that's kind of definitely blew my mind, where this vision school, this 9-week course, like they're offering all over the world, you know, and just the 2 weeks that we were there, there were other either short-term FOers or kind of one-year missionaries at the center from Egypt, from Pakistan, from the Philippines, from Saudi Arabia. There were other from Syria, Iran. You know, and I think just being together in that place and seeing like, wow, God is raising up missionaries, raising up disciples who are bold to go, you know, not just here in the States, everywhere. And when I hear about their stories, like the missionary from the Philippines or the missionary from Pakistan, what they had to give up to come on these trips, you know, like, praise God, we have the resources where like we can just sign up and for the most part just go, right? But they're selling things, or the believer from Iran, who's had to sacrifice family, friends by just becoming a Christian and then going to vision school and then becoming a missionary. It's just like, it blows my mind to you know, to hear that and to see that. But it was also so encouraging, you know, and the last day we were there, just getting to worship together with everybody from, you know, the nations in that one place, and we're praising in English and they're singing in Arabic and, you know, we're dancing. And I just, you know, I just thought to myself, like, if this is a tiny sliver of what heaven will be like, then I see why we can worship forever for eternity, you know? So yeah, just seeing like, okay, well, this is bigger than any organization. It's bigger than a course you could take or bigger than our church, obviously. But just, okay, God is doing something in raising up these believers from all over the world, sending them, you know, in this case, to the Middle East, and I'm sure other places as well, obviously. And yeah, just pursuing after people, you know, proclaiming the kingdom, sharing the gospel.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I really think, to me, the thing that stands out is just God's hand in this whole thing from the beginning to now where you're at. And so to kind of continue on, you're still involved with this organization, right? And so you do have some announcements that you wanted to share, and I wanted to give you some time to publicize a little bit. So can you share a little bit about what CBC is doing to partner with this organization moving forward?
Yeah, so this, you know, I think not necessarily a CBC thing, but we are going to be hosting a vision school this quarter or this fall, beginning September 14th. So it's going to be Wednesday nights, beginning September 14th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So it's a 9-week course. The one that I took, everyone is welcome. So there is a registration cost that is $150 for adults, $130 for college students. But the first class is free. So, you know, I would encourage, you know, obviously we're encouraging people at CBC, but I'd encourage anyone, if this is even remotely interesting, if you're curious, if you're intrigued, if you're thinking to yourself, I would never go, but like, just come check out the first one, you know, come check out the first one. And, you know, it's not for you, it's not for you. But the first one's free, and that's kind of the step that was, you know, the step for me. But I think that part of, you know, I think that's the part where it was such a blessing to me. And obviously, as I've just rambled on for the past, you know, two episodes, how God, you know, moved and showed me some things, anything I could do to help offer that to others. That's what we're doing. That's why we're hosting it. So there'll be hopefully some CBC people. There'll be others just in the area that other people have invited. But yeah, anybody would be welcome to come check it out. And if you have questions, you can go to our website, cerritosbaptist.org, and under events, it's under there. And then if you click on that link, there's just information, just more about the organization from NRCP, Vision School, registration info. And then obviously if you have any questions whatsoever, you can contact me and I'd be happy to share with you.
Although kind of on the side, I did have a funny exchange with you earlier this week about someone that tried to contact you. And I guess there was some missing emails or something. It was kind of a joke. But.
Yeah. I'll do my best to respond. I usually do pretty well, but sometimes I guess.
Well, you told me that you responded and then it got lost in the in cyberspace. But so anyway, if this was something that really resonated with you, I do feel like there are some people, as Eric was sharing with me originally, some people from Catalyst that came to mind that this might resonate with. If this is something that resonates with you, check out the first class. It's coming September 14th at Cerritos Baptist Church. The first one's free. Oh, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about too was you had mentioned that a 7-year-old went on a trip like this. So they offer for all ages, or what does that look like?
So they have vision school for children, vision school for youth, vision school for college, young adults, vision school for obviously everybody else. So yeah, that part is pretty intriguing, the children's one. And so these are families that have their kids sign up, and they send their kids with some chaperones and they go to the Middle East for 2 weeks and they do the exact same thing. They walk the streets, meet people, hope to get invited, sleep at people's houses. So, you know, when I had heard that even before I went, that's why I told you, right? I was like, I don't know much about this org, but these are people who are living it, you know? So yeah. So first step for me was going and shared enough about that, but you know, I wrestle like, would I send my kids? And my kids are older, you know, 13, 15, but there's definitely opportunities, you know, for all ages.
Yeah. I think that is, as we've been talking about it and as I've been thinking about it, it's like, wow, that would be an amazing experience for our young people to have to be in that place where they have to surrender, submit, and depend on the Lord for that period of time. Like, how life-changing could that experience be for a young person to do that early in life?
Yeah, so, I mean, if someone is interested in maybe sending their kids too, they're going to be hosting it at our church as well, Saturdays for the children's, and I think Sunday afternoons for the youth.
So if you want more information, check out the church's website, cerritosbaptist.org, and you can check out more information on all of those different classes. So thanks again, Eric, for coming on and sharing. I really feel encouraged by just your leading and your, you know, following where God's leading.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the encouragement, the prayers, and yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, what God has in store for all of us, you know, because at the end of the day, like I said, God's leading each one of us. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's 2 weeks in the Middle East for me. Maybe it's something totally different from someone else. But just the idea of God opening doors,
yeah,
leading us in areas where we at this point don't want to go, you know, that's exciting. And that's just a reflection of his goodness, his faithfulness, his graciousness. So, yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me be here.
What a great way to close out this episode. So thanks again, Eric. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.